WBSM presents The Tim Weisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Weisberg Show.
Welcome back in. Second hour here on Tuesday morning. Coming up in the next hour, we'll be joined by Katie Green of the One South Coast Chamber to talk about the upcoming Johnny Damon Celebrity Scholarship Dinner happening at the Venus de Milo in Swansea. So if you want to meet one of the founding members of the Boston Red Sox Band of Idiots, they call themselves that. That's not me calling them that. Then you have the chance to do so, and she's going to tell us all about it. We were talking in the last hour. By the way, you heard Mike mention the news, that Plymouth Mobile home fire. If you want to see photos, we have them at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. And the mobile home was a complete and total loss, but thankfully nobody was hurt too seriously. One of the residents was taken to the hospital for evaluation, but seems like everybody is okay. The smoke detectors alerted them to the fire and probably saved their lives. So I was mentioning in the last hour these questions that were sent from Senator Mark Montagne as the chair of the Senate Committee on Post Audit and Oversight to Philip Eng, who is the general manager of the MBTA. And he submitted 15 questions and asked to have them returned by May 2nd, I believe, and he got them back on May 2nd. And Philip Eng gave answers to all of the questions. Now, you might not like the answers, but this is what we got. So I'm going to go through them and try and talk you through them as best I can. So the first question, how many conductors and locomotive engineers were trained and fully qualified to safely operate on the Fall River New Bedford line on March 24th, 2025? So how many were ready on the date of launch? They had 42 locomotive engineers. They had 3 managers of those locomotive engineers. They had 41 conductors, and they had 3 managers who were also certified conductors. How many, and then the second question, how many conductors and locomotive engineers are currently being trained to safely operate the Fall River New Bedford line as of April 23rd when this was sent off? Locomotive engineers 2, managers 1, conductors 17, managers of conductors 3. So the question became, the next question was, on what date did the above-mentioned staff start their current training, and when is said training expected to be completed? And the response was that qualification is a federal safety requirement where conductors and locomotive engineers demonstrate that they have sufficient knowledge of the physical characteristics of the territory to safely operate the train. It began on January 6th. It is an ongoing process. So they sent a table of the 17 that are in training for conductors and the date that they started and when they're expected to be completed. And basically it looks like, you know, many of them are going to be completed today or on Thursday, a couple next week, a couple at the end of the month, and then a couple in July. But it looks like we've already gotten 1, 2, 3, you know, as of yesterday, we had 3 more conductors added to that pool of workers. And as for engineers, they have 2 that both started on April 28th and are expected to be completed by the 14th. So a week from tomorrow. So the next question was, how many conductors and locomotive engineers are required to safely operate weekend service on the Fall River New Bedford line to keep the schedule that was publicly posted? And the response was that the Fall River New Bedford line weekend service requires 11 qualified conductors and 11 qualified locomotive engineers for each Saturday and Sunday. Now, keep in mind, they're saying that they require 11 and that they had 42 engineers and 41 conductors in the pool. Now, obviously not everybody's going to work 7 days a week. But then they asked how many conductors and locomotive engineers were trained and fully qualified to operate the line were scheduled to operate weekend service on the following dates. And they listed all the dates in which there were problems. And the response that they gave, it's length, it's a couple of paragraphs, but I'm going to give you what they said because I'm trying to be fully transparent here. And we could upload this to WBSM.com as well. But every Fall River New Bedford trip has an assigned conductor. Due to the union job bidding and selection process, some of these conductors who hold jobs in the Fall River New Bedford line are not yet qualified, and the job is, quote, functionally vacant until they complete their qualifications. So because they bid on the jobs, they already got the jobs before they're qualified to work the jobs. So to cover these or any other vacancies, including vacation or illness, Keolis relies on a pre-designated list of conductors who cover that work. Once those conductors are assigned, the service relies on qualified conductors willing to take overtime shifts to cover any remaining work. Conductors taking overtime shifts can work partial shifts per their availability. Keolis may direct crews who are assigned to other work to cover these roles. The number of crew members available to be pulled off existing work is highly variable weekend to weekend. Relying on overtime to cover weekend work is standard practice in the railroad industry and a common practice across the commuter rail. As part of the preparation for South Coast Rail, Keolis understood that it would take a considerable amount of time to qualify conductors for Fall River New Bedford trips, and that weekend coverage in particular would be difficult. That's why Keolis focused on qualifying conductors to be part of a buffer pool who could work overtime on the weekends until the process of qualifying the conductors who are on the New Bedford Fall River line was completed. So it gave there was a table that showed on the weekend days referenced how many conductors worked as scheduled, how many conductors were pulled from other work, how many conductors were available to work overtime, how many did, and how many trains were canceled due to a lack of qualified crew. The highest being on April 20th, 10 trains that didn't operate. On the day before that, Saturday 419, 9 trains that didn't operate. The Saturday before that, 9 trains that didn't operate. Out of, again, 11 scheduled trains. How many qualified conductors and locomotive engineers were unavailable to operate during the days listed above due to illness or otherwise? And this is where it gets interesting. Because on the first day, Saturday, the first weekend day, March 29th, nobody was absent. On Sunday, one person was absent with intermittent Family Medical Leave Act time. The following Sunday, 2 people were out, one on intermittent FMLA, one on other leave. Sunday 4-6, only one person was out on other leave. Saturday 4-12, 2 people were out, one on vacation, one on intermittent FMLA. Sunday 4-13, 1 person out on intermittent FMLA. Saturday 4-19, 4 people were out, one on vacation, one on an unexcused absence, and one on a required relief day. I'm sorry, 2 on required relief days because they'd work so much. And then on Sunday 4-20, 1 person was out on vacation. That's for conductors. For engineers, I'll just give it to you the reasons real quick. Vacation, sick, required relief day, vacation, out of service, sick. So, and again, it was, you know, one person out, then the next week, 2 people out, then 1 person out, then a couple of weekends where there were no engineers out, then 1 person, then 2, then 3. So this is not a massive, you know, refusal to work by the people that run that are qualified for that line. Then he asked what process and incentives, if any, are utilized to fill a vacant shift. We can skip that one. When will the weekend commuter rail service fully resume with adequate qualified staff to safely operate the Fall River New Bedford line? And the response was, the situation improves each week as the buffer pool of qualified staff grows and as the conductors who are scheduled to work the Fall River New Bedford line weekend jobs complete their qualifications, the risk of cancellation due to crew availability shrinks. With the support of the conductors union, all overtime shifts were covered for the weekend of April 26th and 27th, and Keolis was able to deliver the full Fall River New Bedford service. And then they asked for a listing of every scheduled train that was canceled or had a delay of at least 10 minutes or more, which we went through some of those. And again, a list of various reasons, mostly not due to staff shortages, which is what Keolis had been telling us was the issue all along. But an exact count of how many passengers have been left stranded by canceled service. And the response from the MBTA was, following a review of available customer service data, we estimate fewer than 15 people. It is never acceptable to leave any number of passengers without access to train service. The MBTA and our commuter rail operator, Keolis, apologize to every passenger who had a negative experience. Keolis is actively undertaking efforts to qualify all Southside conductors and engineers as well. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, that's just. But 15 people, that's their estimate. No more than 15 people. That's still a lot of people. Still a lot of people left with nothing. That's 15 people that the MBTA should have said, you know what, we're going to pay for an Uber to get you home because this is our fault. And I get it. I know that you run the risk when you buy a train ticket of the train possibly being canceled, possibly being delayed, possibly breaking down while you're on the train. The risk is inherent with buying the ticket. I get that. But for such a horrible PR hit, it would have gone a long way to say, we're going to make special arrangements for this because we don't want the people who just got this rail service to feel like we are abandoning them. And they ask, you know, what the plan is for cancellations and alternative rides and the, you know, station staff announcement, in-station public address announcements, T-alert system with targeted email and texts, the social media accounts. And then they ask about the fines. It says, pursuant to the MBTA's contract with Keolis, how are fines calculated, determined, or otherwise issued to Keolis for disruption of service? It says the mechanism for performance penalties is outlined in the agreement. All trains that are late by more than 4 minutes and 59 seconds or are canceled or are terminated are individually penalized with some exemptions for circumstances that were beyond Keolis's control, like people, you know, committing suicide on the tracks. I'm sure counts as one of those things beyond their control. And then it gets into funding and what incentives are in place to guarantee adequate service. And it talks about the penalties and incentives that are in the contract. And it says here, this is an important question. When and how did Keolis confirm its readiness to operate the Fall River New Bedford line, including adequate staff, prior to March 24th, 2025? And this was the response. In the months leading up to the announcement of the March 24th start date and through the start of service, there were regular meetings, both formal South Coast Rail project meetings and more routine operational meetings, between Keolis and the MBTA's railroad operations and capital delivery departments, where preparedness, progress, status, delays, and risks were discussed. Keolis did provide an updated qualification dashboard that was shared with the MBTA and which reflected the status of qualifications. The dashboard, as of March 21st, 2025, which is included here, illustrated the plan 41 qualified conductors had been achieved. So they basically told them, we now have enough qualified engineers, we're ready to go. And it sounds like that's what made the decision to bump up service. So, I mean, are these the answers that you were looking for? Because it sounds like we were being fed one story and now we're being fed another story. You You know, we were told that it was staffing issues that were the cause of the problems, but now the MBTA is, and that was from Keolis, now the MBTA is telling us it's actually not just staffing issues. And in fact, staffing issues is just a percentage of that. So I don't know that all of these problems are, you know, continuing. Some of these issues that they had with tracks, with signals, you know, some of that might be just working the bugs out of a new system, which you thought that they'd been doing for months prior to the launch of the service. But I think that a lot of those incidents that were listed on the chart for cancellations, for late trains, what have you, I think a lot of those will decrease themselves over time. And the staffing issues apparently are, you know, on the verge of no longer being a consideration, no longer being a problem. Does this make you feel more confident that if you got on the train Memorial Day weekend to head up to Boston, that you'd be able to get back home again? Does this make you more confident that if you got on the train and were heading to work in Boston today, you would be able to get there in a reasonable amount of time? You know, obviously delays happen, but I think the people who take the train on a regular basis understand that there are going to be some issues, but that they know that these have gone above and beyond. Certainly 15 people being stranded is inexcusable for a project that cost billions of dollars. How often are people stranded on other commuter rails? Because we are going to have a natural inferiority complex when it comes to how Keolis treats the South Coast Rail and the MBTA treat the South Coast Rail line, the Fall River New Bedford line. And I guess we should qualify here the difference. South Coast Rail was the name of the project. The line is officially known as the Fall River New Bedford line, now that it's complete. But I still think we can use them interchangeably. But we certainly have a sense of they don't care. That they, you know, that they gave us this rail because people complained about it for 30 years and wanted it, and they finally gave it to us, but they don't care if it works. And I don't, and that's the perception, but I don't think that that's the truth. It's certainly not the way that Senator Montigny feels about it. So, you know, whether or not these answers are good enough for him, we'll find out. There was a press release that that accompanied these. Let me just pull that out here. And he said, "While this situation is completely unacceptable and downright frustrating, I appreciate the general manager's timely and thorough response to our inquiry and his commitment to resolving this issue. Keolis must be held accountable to deliver timely and consistent service, and it appears that the MBTA shares this perspective. However, a free weekend service extension, while these issues are worked out, is not an appropriate way to apologize for this error, nor will it provide a good impression for riders when they must step onto bus service home. The T should make every effort to offer an extended free service when the staffing issues are resolved later this spring. In the meantime, this committee will continue this investigation, open pending satisfactory staffing levels and adherence to the service schedule." So he is calling for increased free service, fare free service. And, you know, that's, it's not a bad idea to say, you know, we botched this and now we're going to give you June, July free. You know what? The whole summer, June, July, all the way to Labor Day, June, July, August, free. To show you how it really works when it's really working. 508-996-0500. Again, they didn't say that. That's what I think would be a good idea. Going to take a break here. We will be right back with the news with Mike after this.
Some illegals may soon start self-deporting. The papal conclave begins tomorrow, and President Trump posting tariffs on movies made outside of America.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
President Trump calling for 100% tariff on films produced outside of America and imported into the States. Trump made those comments on Truth Social Media on Sunday to announce that he had instructed the Department of Commerce and the U.S. Trade Representative to immediately begin the process of instituting the tariffs. He cited nonspecific national security threats and said, quote, "We want movies made in America again." A possible security breach being investigated by a communications app seen being used by former National Security Advisor Mike Waltz. The company that owns Telemessage said it acted quickly and suspended all services. Waltz appeared to be seen using the app in a picture last week during a cabinet meeting. Catholic cardinals are preparing to select a new pope this week. Once the conclave begins tomorrow, the 133 cardinals taking part in the election will remain behind closed doors in the Sistine Chapel until a candidate for pope receives two-thirds majority vote. Conclaves historically last about 4 days. The Trump administration is offering $1,000 to illegal immigrants if they self-deport using a government app. President Trump addressed the program yesterday while speaking at the White House.
What we thought we'd do is a self-deport, where we're going to pay each one a certain amount of money, and we're going to get them a beautiful flight back to where they came from.
The Department of Homeland Security said the payments will be made after their return has been confirmed. The app's webpage estimates that once approved, undocumented migrants would typically depart the U.S. within 3 weeks. Those who submit their intent to voluntarily self-deport will also be deprioritized for detention and removal ahead of their departure. A coalition of attorneys general suing the Trump administration over cuts to the Department of Health and Human Services. The coalition includes attorneys general in 19 states and the District of Columbia who are seeking to stop restructuring overseen by Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. They argue the effort has gutted the agency with the elimination of 10,000 employees and the closure of half of regional offices, causing significant harm for the plaintiff states. Many air traffic controllers in Philadelphia who control the airspace at Newark Liberty International Airport are apparently out on approved trauma leave. Their union, the National Air Traffic Controllers Association, says those federal workers did not walk off the job, but their absence is wreaking havoc in Newark.
I was delayed getting in here on United, and I'm getting delayed getting out of here on JetBlue.
The union says that the air traffic controllers suffered a nightmarish experience on April 28th, in which they had no eyes or ears on planes for about 90 seconds, the result of which a radar and communications blackout was caused by a fried copper wire. There have been 400 flight cancellations and 2,000 delays at Newark since Friday. Jury selection in the Sean Diddy Combs sex trafficking trial continues today in Manhattan.
The judge provided a brief description of the charges the 55-year-old music mogul is facing, including prostitution, racketeering, and coercing women into videotaped sex performances he called freak-offs. The Harlem-born rapper says he's innocent and claims any group sex was consensual. Several jurors were dismissed who said they'd seen video of Combs beating up his former girlfriend, Cassie Ventura, who's expected to testify. If convicted, Combs could face life behind bars. I'm Sarah Lee Kessler.
Wall Street closed lower yesterday to start the new week. Kristen Marks has the details.
Stocks finished in the red as investors await developments on potential tariff deals between the U.S. and other countries. The S&P 500 snapped a 9-day winning streak with the Federal Reserve set to begin a 2-day policy meeting tomorrow. At the closing bell, the Dow Jones Industrial Average lost 98 points. The S&P 500 fell 36 points. The NASDAQ lost 133 points.
The number of Americans who say stocks or mutual funds or the best long-term investment is declining.
According to a Gallup survey, 16% of adults say stocks or mutual funds are the best long-term investment, compared to 22% of people who held this view around the same time last year. The poll was conducted in the first 2 weeks of April when President Trump announced sweeping tariffs that sent the stock market on a nosedive. Despite the drop in favorability, the survey found gold had a slight uptick in popularity this year, with 23% saying it's the best long-term investment, which is up from 18% last April. I'm Brian Shook.
WBSM Sports.
The Knicks took game one over the Seas in overtime last night, 108-105. Game two is at the Garden tomorrow night, and the Red Sox host the Rangers tonight at Fenway at 6:45.
Now, your ABC 6 South Coast forecast, brought to you by C Street.
Waking up to dense patchy fog in spots on this Tuesday morning, so take it easy as you're heading out on the roads as visibility could be low at times. Now, as we move throughout the morning, we're also looking at some scattered showers here across the South Coast. And then after a little break in the afternoon, temperatures today along the coast around 60 degrees. As you head a little further inland, we get up into the mid-60s in the afternoon. I'm ABC 6 Chief Meteorologist Christina Schallhoop on New Bedford's News Talk Station 1420 WBSM.
I'm Mike Roberts, WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station, WBSM, and get breaking news alerts and all of our content with the WBSM app. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven.
Although it doesn't really feel like work, hanging out here talking with you at 508-996-0500. App chat, open line voicemails available on the WBSM app. It feels like, the show is the fun part of my day, and then the real work starts when I leave here and start doing the other things that I do around here. But it doesn't feel like work when we're together. Especially on Fridays, with Fun Fridays, which are brought to you by Dee's Hot Dogs in New Bedford. And this Fun Friday, we're going to have a question for you that is going to have to do with Mother's Day. Going to just keep teasing that for now. But it was recommended by Emily in New Jersey, so we're going to have that as your Fun Friday question. Also, keep in mind, too, that all this week we are giving away tickets to go see the Saturday lineup of Boston Calling on Memorial Day weekend. So if you want to see Fall Out Boy and Avril Lavigne, the Black Crowes, and many other bands, then all you have to do is go to WBSM.com or the app and enter to win. And we could be pulling your name. We've got multiple pairs of tickets to give away. And I know I've been saying that I think that these are wristbands that you'll come here and pick up, but I've been told they'll likely be at will call. That's probably what's going to happen, is you're going to pick them up at the will call, which is super easy to do when you get to Boston Calling. When you walk into the Harvard Athletic Complex, they just have the windows right there, and you just walk over and you get it. There's, at least all the times I've gone, there's never been a line. So, or maybe like two or three people. So it should be nice and easy for you. And of course, it's brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven, 115 Huddleston Avenue. It is the home of the Purple Dot, where you can try before you buy, and where they always have great different tastings going on and things like that. So check out Stevie's, 115 Huddleston Avenue in Fairhaven. Make that your new place to go to get all of your adult beverages. Let's take a phone call here, 508-996-0500. Good morning, you're on WBSM. Whoa, what's going on there? Lamone, your phone is not working at all. I can't leave that on the air. Your phone is just crackling. I can't hear you. I can't understand you. Sounds like a motorcycle. You're going to have to try to call back. We'll see if we can get a clear line for Lamone. He's got to climb a little higher up on that pole. It's not quite there. But if you get high enough up there, high enough, just high enough so you can almost touch the sun, Icarus. And if you can touch the sun, well, you'll know how much energy is coming out of the sun, and then you'll think about how you can utilize that to power your home. And who better to help you with that than Isaacson Solar? They can answer all your questions about going solar. Simple, honest, direct answers. No runaround, no BS, just the truth about going solar. and including all the different ways they can make it happen for you, whether it's putting it on your roof, putting it elsewhere in your property, building you a solar pavilion, which would be great this time of year, sitting out under that solar pavilion, gathering the sunlight to power your home, but also keeping it out of your face and keeping you from getting sunburned while you are outside enjoying the great outdoors this summer season. So find out more by going to isaacsonsolar.com, I-S-A-K-S-E-N, isaacsonsolar.com. All right, let's try this again. All right, Lamone, you're a little higher up on the pole there now?
Yeah, burr.
There you
burr
go.
So yeah, it's been raining the last couple of days. So Sunday is going to be our first 100-degree day. So,
oof.
One shirt up to everybody out there. So
and notice he said first, folks. That means there's many, many more 100-degree days coming in Las Vegas.
Oh, definitely. I remember we normally would have, like, let's say maybe 20, 110 plus days. Last year we had 36, 110 plus days.
That's why I don't live there.
Well, that's why you've got to make a visit. Bring some of that coolness with you. Mr. Freeze, or should I say Mr. Snow Miser. You know, since you're so skinny, you can't say the Heat Miser anymore. Curses. You know, I just thought he's Mr. Heat Miser. He's Mr. Sun. He's Mr. Heat Blister. He's Mr. 100-1. So, yeah, I guess everybody should know that song. I guess if they don't know, well, tell too bad. So I was wondering, I'm going to have to ask you, talk to you off the air just in a minute. But I'd like to, did you see the wrestling, any of the wrestling when we had it here?
Yeah, WrestleMania and some of the other stuff. Yeah, I saw WrestleMania. I didn't watch all of the Hall of Fame. And then I watched SmackDown, Raw, all that stuff.
Did you like it? Were you impressed?
I thought that the crowd was trying too hard to be like a European crowd, but it didn't take away from the experience.
Yeah, and it's like, and they've got 2 days of the wrestling itself. And so, you know, that's what I'm saying. It's like, how are you going to bring that excitement, carry it over? Unless you're a kid, you know, things are so much easier to carry things over.
So, excitement. You've had the Super Bowl there in Vegas, right?
Yes, sir.
You've had WrestleMania now in Vegas. How would you compare a WrestleMania weekend and the people that it brings in to what the Super Bowl brings in? Is it comparable?
We had two WrestleManias here. And so, you know, that was back when...
WrestleMania 9, you...
And so, but I think this second one was far more exciting and brought far more people to it. You know, let the audience be a part of it. You know, interactive things they have out there, like out there in the midway, people go and play, you know, they have like at the NBA games, they have the shoot-outs and stuff like that. Things. There's a lot of stuff that people could do that would normally be able to do it, you know? And so it was a good thing. I think it was kind of fun. I would have liked to have been able to be a bigger part of it personally instead of just watching. But like I said, I didn't get injured, so that's a great thing. So I don't know if I'm going to be around for the next retirement returns. And if I wouldn't want to go in a single at that age anyways, you know, so an L's bell. You know,
well, I kept watching to see if you'd pop up in the Andre the Giant Battle Royal, but I didn't see you.
No, I didn't do that. Did you see Sabu?
No, I didn't.
Okay, well, that's why. He's been my partner. I've been wrestling with him. So that's what got me trying to get back into the ring a little bit. Yeah, but it was kind of sad, though. It's sad. So, you know, like I told you, the Cauliflower Alley is going to be here. You know, it's based on Las Vegas. It's the oldest wrestling Hall of Fame in the country, well, in the world, supposedly. They were the first ones to induct Abraham Lincoln. You know, Abraham Lincoln was like 302 wins, something like that. You know, 300 wins, you know, Abe Lincoln, the rail splitter. So they brought, he was the first one inducted there. And there's a lot of other people that are going to be inducted there. But they're going to have Cactus Jack, you know, Mick Foley is going to be inducted here in August, what, the 29th of August, something like that. Yeah, somewhere around that time. So maybe that could be the next time you could come on vacation.
Perhaps, you know? Yeah.
I would hope so.
Not if there's going to be any of those 100-degree days, though. Not those 110-degree days, that's for sure.
Yeah, but then at least you say, you lived and survived that. But you don't have to do that stuff. You say, I stayed inside.
I know. It's a dry heat. That's what they tell me. It's a dry heat.
Very dry. A lot of people don't realize it's like, like it's like, if you ever notice, like over in Africa, you see how you see like a lot of the sheiks and stuff, or people out there, the Bedouin, they were have all the wrapped in sheets, you know, and layers. But that right there, that helps them to stay cool, and they sweat. That coolness, that sweat builds up and helps keep them cool. And but they keep those a veil over their faces because the siroccos, you know, the hot dust storms. The siroccos are so hot they could pitch your skin with dirt. You know, like the pebbles and stuff like that. It gets into your skin, puts a lot of things like that in your face, like that. You don't want to have that going on there.
No, definitely not.
Definitely not. And it's like, but you know, hey, but you see people in Ethiopia that have beautiful skin. So, you know, can't complain about that. So even doing puberty, they got beautiful skin. And so I'm trying to get you to get this YouTube channel on the air. I was supposed to do this like last year, the year before. And I'd like to get it done while I'm still able to get it done. So I'll talk to you about that. You know, anybody's listening, they're in your vicinity. You know, Mystery Machine, they're out there. You know, they're right there in that vicinity. And so they've got a lot of other stuff that are pertinent, that would be good stories for you guys here. And so they're thinking that they might come to Vegas, and I got to grip the stories for them here. So
we'll see if we can do that. I got to hold you there, though. I got to take a break here. I got two breaks I got to take before the end of the hour, and they're kind of lengthy. So
are you going to hold on so I can talk to you after?
No, because I'm pretty much just going to wrap up the hour with breaks here. And then I have a guest starting off the next hour.
Oh, that guest. Okay. Well, you guys have a great day. And let's go, Red Fox.
All right.
God bless you. May the good Lord smile upon you. And hope you guys enjoy that rain while you got it.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Good there. And you've got the fog and everything like that.
You stay cool out there.
I'll do my best, playboy.
All right. Take it easy. That is Lamon in Las Vegas. And 110 degree days, no thanks. All right, I got to take a break here. We'll be back in just a few moments.
Wake up!
Starting your day the right way with the Tim Weisberg Show. Mornings on WBSM.
All right, well, we are going to be joined by Katie Green in a little bit. We're going to be talking some important things that they do with this dinner. But really, it's just a time to go and act like an idiot with an idiot, right? And so that's going to be coming up. We're going to talk to you more about that in the next hour. Really quickly, I want to let you know about something that's coming up with me. I'm going to be doing a presentation. I'm going to be doing the Ghost of the Bridgewater Triangle presentation for the Dighton Public Library, if you are interested in taking part in that. However, it is not happening in the Dighton Library because they need a little bit more room. So it's going to be happening at the Old Town Hall. It's Thursday, May 22nd at the Old Town Hall, 1111 Somerset Avenue in North Dighton. Come on by. It's going to be happening at 6:30 p.m. Thursday, May 22nd. Ghost of the Bridgewater Triangle. If you've never seen it before, I think you'll like it. If you have seen it before, it's all the same joke. So please laugh where appropriate. All right. I got to take one more break here to wrap up the hour, and then we're going to talk. All right, we're going to be going into the news, and we'll come back. We'll talk with Katie about the upcoming Celebrity Scholarship Dinner, how you can take part and get your tickets. But we're going to be going into the news in just a few seconds. We'll be back in a little bit.